And let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the message of the gospel, the message of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And again, Lord, we ask that as we hear it, as we reflect upon this story, and even though it can sadden us to hear what our Lord went through, we rejoice in this message, Lord, and pray that by it you would instill with us great hope and faith and trust in you. We pray that we would ever look to you for the forgiveness of sins and salvation and the eternal life that you have promised. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight, as we again consider the words of Jesus that were spoken from the cross, we come to a word that seems, perhaps to some, a little bit confusing and maybe even a little bit troubling as we first look at it. We first have all heard in our gospel lesson for tonight that as Jesus hung there on the cross, darkness covered the land from the sixth to the ninth hours. Because they measured their time from sunrise, this means that it was dark from about noon until about three in the afternoon. It was dark during what should have been the sunniest part of the day, when the sun should have been shining the brightest. Jesus then, we are told, cried out, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani." We're then told that this means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, when we think about it, this could be, to some of us, a very confusing statement. Although the reasons can vary greatly, many of us have at times felt forsaken by God. We have felt as if God has turned his back on us. I know that I have. And we usually begin to feel this way when things aren't going quite as well as we would like them to, or perhaps when we're going through an unusual hardship. But when we consider this word spoken by Jesus, spoken from the cross, we are confronted with the question, why would Jesus feel this way? And why would he ask something like this? We're confronted with this question because even though he was a man, even though Scripture tells us that he was like us in every way, Jesus is, after all, somebody who is much greater than every one of us. He's the very Son of God. As we learn in the first chapter of John, Jesus has existed from eternity. We also learn that all things were created by him. We see in the Gospels that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. We remember how when he was baptized, God the Father spoke from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." Again, we are confronted with the question, could God ever forsake his own Son? Would God forsake his own beloved child? Another difference between Jesus and us is the fact that he was without sin. We see in Hebrews 4 that he was without sin even though he was tempted in every way just as we are. Because of our sin, God has every reason to forsake us. And so it seems that we have a good reason to feel this way. But Jesus, again, how could he feel this way considering the fact that he was innocent, that he was without sin? So again, we must ask, what reason would Jesus have to feel forsaken by God? As we consider this question tonight, we must realize, first of all, that as Jesus hung there on the cross, as he was suffering and dying, he was literally experiencing the judgment of God. The darkness that came over the land was a sign of this. It was a sign of God's judgment. We know this, first of all, because of what Jesus said, the word that he spoke from the cross that we are focusing upon tonight, and also because we see this darkness in other passages of Scripture as well. Jesus, in this word that he spoke from the cross, did not ask if God had forsaken him. He asked why God had forsaken him. And this tells us that Jesus did not simply feel like he had been forsaken, as you and I often do. It wasn't something that seemed to be true when in reality things were much different. Again, as is often the case for us. It was a reality. He truly had been forsaken by God. And this itself reveals God's judgment and it reveals his wrath. We also see in Scripture that darkness is associated with the judgment of God. You may remember that one of the plagues that God sent upon Egypt when delivering the people of Israel from slavery was the plague of darkness. God sent His judgment upon Pharaoh and upon all of Egypt because of their refusal to let the people of Israel go. When Jesus was speaking of the end times, we see this again. In Mark 13, Jesus tells us that immediately before He returns in judgment, the sun will be darkened. Starting in verse 24 of that chapter, Jesus says, "But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory." So based on this, we can conclude from the darkness at Jesus' crucifixion that He was truly experiencing the wrath of God. As we've heard many times before, Jesus, by dying in this way, by giving His life for us on the cross, was paying the penalty for our sin. We've already seen in the series that because of our sin, each one of us deserves the wrath of God. We deserve to go to hell. We deserve to be eternally separated from the Lord. And Jesus, when He hung there on the cross, He took this penalty upon Himself. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Apostle Paul says, "For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." And in Galatians 3:13, Paul also writes, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree.'" He took upon Himself the penalty deserved by us and by all people that we might be forgiven. This is why Jesus cried out. This is why He said, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" By suffering on the cross, by dying for our sins, He was really and truly forsaken by God. He was enduring the wrath of God, deserved by us, deserved by all people who have ever lived. And this is why in 1 John 2:2, Jesus is referred to as the propitiation or the atoning sacrifice for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. This is why John the Baptist referred to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In Old Testament times, you remember, the people of Israel, they brought animal sacrifices for this very purpose. Starting in Leviticus 1, in verse 2, the people were told, "When any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of livestock from the herd or from the flock. If his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer a male without blemish. He shall bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting, that he may be accepted before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him." So by doing this, by bringing the animal to the tabernacle, by laying his hand upon his head, this animal was identified with the sin of the person who brought it. And after this had been done, the priest then cut the animal's throat. He took its blood and he threw it against the side of the altar. And in this way, the man's sin was atoned for. The animal paid the penalty of his sin so that he could receive forgiveness. And this is what Jesus was doing for us as He died upon the cross. He took our sin upon Himself and made atonement for us. Just as we are told in Hebrews 10:14, "For by a single offering He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." And in this way, by this sacrifice, the penalty of our sin is paid, and we receive the forgiveness of God. It's only by the forsaking of Jesus that the penalty of our sin could be paid. This then raises another problem for us as we consider Jesus' cry from the cross. Since Jesus had to be forsaken so that our sins could be forgiven, since this was really what was happening at the time He uttered these words, does this then indicate His failure to understand what was going on? Did He fail to understand what was happening by His suffering and by His death? Is this why He asked God, "Why have You forsaken Me?" What I mean is this. We often ask God why when bad things are happening to us, don't we? And we ask this because we don't understand why God is allowing us to suffer. We don't understand why He is letting these bad things happen. We can't see how God is working within our lives. And so is this what was happening with Jesus at this point in time? Is this what He meant by this word from the cross? We know from Scripture that this was definitely not the case. Jesus clearly understood what was happening. He clearly understood why it had to take place. And we know this because before His death, before He was even arrested, He spoke several times about what had to happen. We see this, for example, in Mark 10:45, where Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." We see in these words that Jesus knew why He had come. He knew that He had come into this world to die for the sins of mankind. We see this again in Matthew 16:21, where we read, "From that time Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." Jesus knew what was coming. He explained all of this to His disciples beforehand. We see Jesus speaking of His death several times throughout the Gospels before any of this even took place. So if it wasn't due to ignorance, then why did Jesus ask this question? Why did He ask, "God, why are You forsaking Me?" Was He speaking these words out of His despair? Was He speaking them due to a lack of hope or a lack of confidence in the Lord? Again, we know that this was not the case because before all this happened, Jesus had foreknowledge not only of His death, but also of His resurrection. Even though He was enduring tremendous suffering, suffering that is incomprehensible to any one of us today, He also knew that it was only temporary. He knew that He would not forever be forsaken by God. He knew that in 3 days after His death, He would be raised from the grave. And He knew that He would sit at the right hand of God. So this leaves us with only one conclusion. It leads us to conclude that Jesus made this statement quite simply because experiencing the wrath of God is a terrible thing. This is something that He had never experienced before. Jesus had lived in the presence of God. He had lived in fellowship with God from eternity. So this was completely new to Him. This statement then can be nothing else than the cry of a man in agony, of a man who is experiencing real alienation from God. So what does all of this mean for us sitting here tonight? What does the fact that He was forsaken mean for you and for me? Because Jesus endured this suffering, because He was forsaken by God, we know, we can have confidence that it's something we will never have to experience. If we trust in Jesus, if we trust in the sacrifice that He made on our behalf, we know that we'll receive the forgiveness of sins and that we have only an eternity of blessing awaiting us. In Romans 8:3, Paul says, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Because of Jesus' suffering, because of His death, we who trust in Jesus will no longer have to face that penalty. The law, which requires the death of the sinner, has been fully satisfied. It's been fully satisfied by Jesus and by His sacrifice. In Galatians 4:4, Paul also says that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Because Jesus came into this world, because He redeemed us by His blood, we can receive adoption as God's sons. In other words, because Jesus died for us, because He paid that penalty on our behalf, you and I can become the children of God. And in Romans 5:8 and 9, Paul says, "God shows us His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. Because Jesus died for us. Because of the fact that we're justified by His blood, by His sacrifice, we know that we are saved from the wrath of God through Him. So even though I wouldn't wish upon anyone the things that Jesus went through, the things that He endured as He paid the penalty for our sins, as He hung there on the cross, even though I'm saddened by the fact that it was for me, that it was for my sin that Jesus had to endure all of these terrible things, I am also filled with comfort and peace. I am comforted knowing that because Jesus died, because He died in my place, I can live. Because He was forsaken by God, I know that if I only trust in Him, I never will be. And we can all have this assurance through faith in Jesus. Because of the things He endured, because He died, eternal life has been secured for us and for all mankind. God's desire, according to Scripture, is for all people to be saved. In fact, this is the very reason why Jesus came. As Jesus Himself points out in John 3:17, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved." And we can receive the salvation, we can receive the benefits of Jesus' suffering and of Jesus' death through faith in Him. As we are told in John 3:36, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life." Amen.